Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Freedom is a word that ignites emotion, passion, and discussion among people from every generation. Almost everyone has an opinion concerning what freedom is, how we can obtain it, and what we must do to protect it. And most of us would agree that with freedom comes responsibility. The responsibility to make the right decisions, the right choices, or face the consequences of our wrong decisions. And some of us know from our own experience how those bad decisions can affect us and how they can affect those around us. And some of us still live with the consequences of those decisions. So if there was ever a time to make the right decision, it is in our decision concerning God. Because the wrong decision will not only have consequences in this life, but that decision will have consequences for eternity. And our freedom to choose incorrectly will enslave us forever. But how do we know? How do we know what to believe concerning God? Or even if there is a God at all? We know, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, because throughout the history of mankind, even before there was the Bible, the written word of God, the God of the universe has continually revealed himself to us in our heart, in our mind, in our conscience, and yes, even through the things that he has made. His divine creation displays his power, and it displays his goodness towards us. All of nature magnifies his name. So Paul says in verse 20 of Romans chapter 1, we are all without excuse. There's no way to justify our unbelief. His creation is our invitation to come to him and to learn of him, to worship him. But Paul tells us that is not what has happened, has it? Even though the evidence is clear, there is a God. There is a God in the heavens. We know that he exists. Still, we make the wrong decision. We choose not to honor him. We choose not to worship him. We choose not to obey him. We choose not to give him thanks for all that he has done for us. He has given us life and breath. Instead, what do? We doubt him. We doubt his existence. We doubt his love for us. So we sink deeper and deeper into the sin of our unbelief, believing instead the senseless and the worthless opinions of men. And so then we think we're wise, when in fact we have become fools. We worship everything and anything except the one true God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we are carried off and held captive by the empty deceptions of men, bringing the anger and the judgment of God upon us. So in the wickedness of our pride, we reject the only means of our salvation. We reject Christ. Therefore, Paul tells us in verse 24 of Romans chapter 1, since we have rejected all that God has revealed to us, since we have rejected the sacrifice of His Son for our sin, there are consequences that will surely follow. And in His wrath, God will reject us in the end. He will reject all who have abandoned the truth. So it says He gave them over. Paradidomi. God let them go. He no longer restrained their behavior. He allowed them to wallow in their sin, in the filth of their wickedness and their unbelief. What a picture Paul's given us here. We all know the judgment of God will someday fall upon this earth. It will fall upon those who have rejected Jesus Christ. But what is Paul saying here? He's saying that judgment has already begun. It is already falling because there are those that God has let go. He has stepped away from their lives. Stepped away from them. So that eternal damnation awaits them. Leaving them to their sin. Leaving them, he says, in the lusts of their hearts. Epithumia. In their deceitful passions. Their desires. Desires in their mind, in their spirit. Abandoning them to do what they want. To do what they desire. We're told in Psalm 81, verse 12, in the stubbornness of their heart, walking according to their own plans, walking according to their own perspective. And what is that perspective? What do they desire? Paul tells us it's to embrace impurity, akathosia, uncleanness, like decaying flesh, filthiness, rottenness, moral sickness. So they long, we're told. What they long for is that their bodies, their lives, are dishonored. Atimazo. They conduct themselves with shame. Showing no respect for themselves. Showing no respect for each other. And just look around. Isn't that what we see today? We see the judgment of God falling upon us. God has let people go. He has withdrawn His protective hand from them. He has abandoned them to their sin, to the consequences of that sin. And some of those consequences are immediate. Some of them are fatal. And some of them are eternal. The eternal consequence of our enslavement to sin. Not only physically enslaved, spiritually enslaved, he tells us. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Metalasso. They substituted the truth of the Word of God, the truth of Christ, truth that He has revealed to us in His Word, and they have let go of that revelation. They have discounted it. They have disqualified it, exchanging it for an illusion, for a myth, a lie. The lie of bending to the pressure of the people of this world. The lie of listening to the voice of the enemy. while forgetting that there is a God in the heavens, a God that we must worship and obey according to the truth of his word. And instead, what have we done? What do we do? He says in verse 25, we have worshipped man. Sebazomai. We fear people. We seek to honor them. We care more about what they think than what God thinks. And so, we have served latruo. We have given our devotion and our service to the creature, to one that has been created by God, instead of giving that devotion to the creator of all things, the only one who really can transform our lives, the Lord God Almighty, who is blessed, Paul says, eulogetos, who deserves praise and honor and glory forever. Amen, Paul adds. May it be so in our lives. But that's not the way it is for many people, is it? No. So for this reason, we're told in verse 26, since men and women have rejected God, since they have rejected Christ, there is a terrible consequence that will follow. God gave them over, paradidomai. He stepped back. He has let them go to fulfill their degrading passions, atima, desires that are vile and disgraceful, things that can't even be found in nature, even among the lowest of the animals of this world. For their women, he says, thelus, it's the word for female. The females among them have exchanged metalasso. They have substituted the natural function, phoikos krasis. They have let go of the natural orders of things, which is what it is to have an intimate, personal, physical relationship between a male and a female in a marriage relationship. But, we're told, they've abandoned that kind of relationship for one which is, he says, unnatural, ten paraphosis, one that is outside the guidance of nature. And in the same way, also the men, arsen, the males among them, have abandoned. Fear me, they have sent away. They have let go of the natural function of the women, which is what? To have an intimate, physical relationship in a marriage situation. And instead, what have they done? They have burned in their desire. Ekaio. They are inflamed. They stretch out their hands, longing for each other, set on fire by their lust and by their passion towards one another. Men with men, committing katargazomai, carrying out indecent acts, aske musune, in nakedness and in shame, doing that which is twisted and deformed. And so, receiving apolambano, being paid back in their own persons, within themselves, that which is due to them. They're hurting themselves, God says. They're destroying themselves. And so, they are receiving the due penalty, the de an timasthia. They're getting the reward, not only that they deserve, but that should be expected. It should be no surprise. They are getting the recompense for their error, the payback for their sin, plan A, for their wandering away from the truth. And such were some of you, Paul says to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Such were some of you. The truth is, we are all sinners. The truth is that we all need forgiveness, and it is only the blood of Christ, it is only his death that can cleanse us, that can remove that sin from us forever. We don't need a seminar. We need Christ. But like some of the Corinthians back then, when we're confronted with our sin against God, what do? We try to explain it away. We try to justify it. We say what they said in 1 Corinthians 6:13, that food is for the belly, and the belly is for food. We're only doing what comes natural to us. That's a lie. That's poison for our soul. A lie that our behavior should not be determined by the ethical and moral standards of God, but that our behavior should be determined by biology. What seems right? What feels right? To each of us. It's a personal choice, we're told. But we haven't been created by God for immorality of any kind. Instead, why have we been created? We've been created to glorify Him. But many people are like those we find in Job chapter 21, who spoke to God, and they said to Him, "Depart from us. Leave us alone. We don't desire the knowledge of thy ways. And who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What value is there? What profit is there? If we pray and look to him, we don't need him. We don't want him. We see no value in him. We see no value in his word." And sadly, isn't that the perspective that many people have today? They see no value in God. They see no value in Christ. So, Paul says in verse 28, "Just as they did not see fit, dokimazo, when they examined the truth of the Word of God, they did not see any worth in it. And so they refused to acknowledge God any longer. They rejected him. They rejected his sovereignty over their lives. They rejected his lordship over them. And so, for a third time in this passage, we are given those terrifying words. We are told in verse 28, God gave them over. He stepped back. And he let them go down the road of their sin because they have rejected him. So now he has rejected them." A terrifying thing. He has not stopped them from pursuing the wickedness that they long for. He has turned them over and abandoned them to what? Verse 28 says, to their depraved mind. Adokimosnus. To their worthless thoughts. To their lack of discernment or understanding of the truth. There's nothing within them now that is even capable of comprehending what is right. Their conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. So they're numb to the truth. So they are willing. They are eager to do those things which are not proper, katheko, things that should not even be done in the darkness. Men and women who are being filled to the brim with all unrighteousness and with wickedness. It's like they have been infected by a disease, and they are filled with that deadly disease, and there is no more room for anything else in their lives except for that disease. It overwhelms, it overpowers them, filling them with things, Paul says in verse 29, like greed, pleonexia, wanting more and more and more. Their selfishness knows no limits. They're consumed with malice, kakia. They want evil and trouble to fall on other people. They are those who are full of envy and jealousy, even to the point of the murder of those who get in their way. Men and women who stir up strife and quarrels, even in the church. Those in whom there is deceit, dolos. Those who quietly deceive people in order to hurt them or destroy them, to destroy their character. These are those who are full of malice, kako ethia, those who are rotten to the core. Wicked people who speak that which is wicked. Gossips, Paul says, pesithuristes, whisperers. Whisperers who tell lies. Whisperers who spread rumors to discredit, to harm other people. Slanderers, bad mouth. They bad mouth other people behind their back, even sometimes to their face. They distort the truth. And they're not only haters of men. Paul says they're haters of God. Theostugas, irreverent, blasphemers, insolent, hubristes, filled with their pride, lifting themselves up even above the God of the heavens, while pulling everyone else down below them. Arrogant. They think they're better. They think they're wiser. They think they're more spiritual than everyone else, and they are boastful. Alizon. They're wandering around, pretending to be more than they really are. Inventors of evil. Designing, contriving new ways to sin. Even disobedient to parents. Not respecting them. Not obeying them. These are all people, Paul says, who are without understanding. Asunetos. They are foolish, they are senseless, and they are without any spiritual discernment, so they are untrustworthy. Their word, their promises mean nothing. They are even unloving. Astrogos. Without any natural affection. So they are cruel, hard-hearted, unmerciful, without pity, ruthless. And such were all of us at one time, in one way or another. We can find ourselves in this list. Some of us may still find ourselves there. And although they know, epigenosko, although they recognize this, although they understand the ordinance of God, they understand His requirements, they know His commandments, They know he condemns such wickedness. They know that those who practice these things are worthy of death. Physical death, spiritual death. We all know that we deserve to be punished for this wickedness. We all know that consequences will follow. Still, we refuse to abandon that sin. And not only, Paul says in verse 32, do we do the same wicked things over and over again because there is no fear of God before our eyes, but we are told we give hearty approval. Sunyu dokeo. We encourage others and we are pleased to lead them to join us in that wickedness, to practice this unrighteousness. And does any of this at all sound like us? Does it sound like us in any way? It should. Because God is speaking to all of us today. He's speaking to us again. Perhaps for the last time for some of us. And he tells us once again, we are without excuse. The evidence is clear. This is a warning from God to us that we need to turn from our sin. We need to turn to him. We need to turn to Christ for forgiveness, and we need to do it now. We need to do it today while we can still hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts through his word. And if we come to him, then he will never leave us. That is his promise. He will never let us go. That is what his word tells us. We will belong to him forever. And that is real freedom. The freedom to belong to the God of the universe. The freedom from our sin. Freedom in Christ forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.